Welcome to the Phil Pringle Podcast. We're currently in our series, The Engine Room. Stay tuned for this week's message.
The story of prayer and the history of the church is just completely amazing. And I want you to come with me over to Isaiah 40 and verse 28. And as we have a look at this, this passage today, I want to talk about the power of prayer to revive us, especially as we're coming up to presence. And prayer has a whole range of areas, but I want to talk about what prayer can do in your own life today and what it can do for you rather than you getting something from God, what it can actually bring about in your own life. I remember hearing a story about a man who fell off a cliff, big cliff, 1,000 feet high, falling down through the air. He saw a branch, just caught hold of a side of a branch halfway down and managed in his free fall to grab the branch. The branch bent down, up, and he's hanging on for dear life. And finally, he comes to rest, and he's hanging there, 500 feet up, about 500 feet down, and he's hanging there in the middle of the air, wondering what on earth he's going to do now. And he thinks, well, maybe this is a good time to talk to God, if there is one. And he goes, is there anybody up there? And this voice comes out, yes. He says, who is it? Is that you, God? He says, yes, this is God. He says, can you help me? He says, certainly I can help you. What's up next? First, do you trust me? I guess so, yeah. I'm good. Yeah, okay, I trust you. Let go of the branch. Is there anybody else up there? So, you know, prayer is not just about asking God to do stuff and then he's going to do it all. It's about actually what he can do on the inside of our lives in transforming us and bringing us into a whole different way of life, a whole different thing that we're meant to be experiencing. And so in this passage, in verse 27, Isaiah 40, verse 27, why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my just claim is passed over by my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord, say this with me, everybody, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Amen. I'm just going to make a little change here. I need my computer out of my bag. This thing is run out, not working. Amen. I just got off a plane from the Sunshine Coast, and these things sometimes let me down. Thank you very much, Joshua. This passage is like one of the most favorite passages I've ever had the pleasure of reading. And one of the great things about this is the idea of the eagle. Now, I read a story about a group of people who put an eagle in a wind tunnel. Kind of a crazy thing to do. Just to find out how it could manage to soar all day long. So eagles can find themselves soaring throughout an entire day without taking any rest. They just keep on going. And the reason is because they have six lock in feathers at the end of their wing, the tip upwards. Thankfully, aircraft companies found out about this just a few years ago. But God designed this a long time ago, and it reduces the vortex created by just a normal wingspan. It cuts it by less than half, by more than half, so that that eagle doesn't, its wings just do not tire. Also, it knows how to find thermal currents and just ride them. The great thing about an eagle is that it actually can fly so high, when a storm comes, it uses the wind of the storm to actually climb higher. And you know, as I was getting this message together, I really felt on my heart that prayer could really be an answer for a lot of us who are facing challenging moments in our world right now. And instead of actually reaching out for a bottle of pills, instead of making an appointment with somebody to try and solve this, maybe it could be a good idea to simply go to prayer and spend some time with the Lord of the universe and find ourselves climbing, mounting up with wings like eagles, even while the situation remains and doesn't change. There's one level of faith that actually causes things to change, which is great. We all like that. But you know, sometimes God is more interested in developing your character than giving you your comfort. And sometimes you're going to find that the miracle you've prayed for hasn't happened. But you don't want to think, oh, well, God doesn't love me. God doesn't care about me. He ignores me. He says he's no respecter of persons. But how come he respects Mark Saundercock more than me? We can sometimes feel that that's the case, and that's exactly what the prophet is saying to Israel. He's saying, why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my just claim is passed over. I've prayed some prayers, I've got a real challenge, I've got a real problem, and God's not listening. He's not doing anything. But there's another way that you can actually live with that problem in your world, and that's to be like an eagle that soars above it and discover that you got strength and wings to live with difficult circumstances and let them not affect you. As long as we're expecting that God's going to do things just like we want him to, we're going to find ourselves disappointed, because God is more important than the result we're looking for. And he wants us to actually rise higher until we get to a point where it doesn't really matter if we get the answer or not, because he's become more important to us and we've got a revival going on in our spirit. And at the end of the trial, we'll say, thank God for that really difficult time, because I reoriented, I realigned myself. I got my priorities in order again. I found that Jesus is more important than anything else he can do for me. And that's exactly where he wants us to arrive in our lives. Okay. So Psalm 138, verse 3 says, in the day when I cried out, you answered me. Okay. In the day when I cried out, you answered me. I had a problem and I cried out. How did God answer him? Made me bold with strength in my soul. He doesn't say, yeah, you changed my circumstances. Now, God does change circumstances. You come here on a different Sunday, you'll hear me talking about how that people who haven't been able to have children. So many miracles like that have happened in this church. People who have been sick have been healed. People who have been praying for a car got a car. People who have been, you know, all kinds of. But, you know, sometimes that doesn't happen. Sometimes it doesn't happen because you came out the front here one day on an altar and you said, change me, God. You should never have prayed that prayer. You said, God, I want to be used by you. What? You sang that song. We are yours. Don't sing that song. Because you said, I'm yours. Nothing less. Sounds so good when you're singing it. And these guys make it sound so easy to sing. But then God says, did I hear you say, you're mine? Oh, angels. We got one. Amen. All right. So, and then you went and you said, God, Whatever you want me to do, I just want my destiny. Oh, I can see such a big dream out ahead of me. Oh, God, it's like an 18-wheeler Mack truck. God looks at you and he says, yeah, it is. The only trouble is, when I look inside your motor, it's a Corolla. It's a little 150cc Honda. And you're going to try and carry that big Mack truck of destiny? You'll blow up. So I got to increase your capacity. Everybody say capacity. Capacity is another word for what you can cope with. That's what capacity is. How big is that motor of yours? What can you cope with? Okay, so James says, the trying of your faith increases your patience. Patience is another word for capacity. How long can you last under pressure? And how long can you keep on going and not lose it? Not lose your cool, you know, and blow up. In James 1, verse 2 to 4, that scripture is, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. It's kind of sadistic, isn't it? Count it all joy. Get happy. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But check this out. Let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. What's that about? This is saying that if you increase your capacity, you'll be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Now you think, saying, God, give me a car, give me a house, give me, then I'll be lacking nothing. No, he's saying, get patience. Get the ability to cope with anything that comes along in your life, then you'll be perfect and complete, and you'll be lacking nothing then. So your ability to cope is how long your spirit is. And that's why the Bible says love is long-suffering. It's like that fuse at the beginning of Mission Impossible. Dunk, 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 dunk. I know, I look like him. Tom Cruise, there it is. Climbing the rock. Dun, 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 dun. Just goes on forever. Zzz, all through the titles. Zzz. But I know people, you just light their fuse and 2 seconds later, bam, they're exploding. You go, hi, how are you? They go, what's it to you? Or you scratch them just a little bit, say, could you do this? I don't want to do that. Like, there's no fuse at all. Just blow up. If you're like that, maybe this message is kind of fitting, you know? It's like, this could be helpful to you because you want God to do stuff, but he's not doing it. And you said, my just claim has been passed over. He's just ignoring me. I don't know if God loves me, and you're reading God's attitude towards you through your circumstances rather than through this book. And you got to actually start to read this book and say, I am going to know that God loves me by the book, not by the way circumstances are reading out to me. So God says, okay, I heard you talk about that, you know, enlarge me. Because some of you prayed that prayer. I know you have. I've heard you. I go quiet when you pray in this prayer. I don't even say amen. I find God needs no encouragement in these areas. And all of us want to be bigger people. I know. We do pray that prayer. But here's the thing. He will start with your inside. He will start with your heart. And so he grabs your heart, puts his foot in the bottom, grabs the top, and he says, okay, you believing? I say, yeah, God, oh, you're going to come through on this. And he doesn't come through. That's 4 weeks, God. You haven't come through. This has got to happen. God, how long is this trying of my faith going to go? He says, do we see a bit of capacity increase there? Till you grow, oh, God, I can't take this. I don't want to be here. I don't want to even be a Christian anymore. Oh, God, that hurt. Please, God, deliver me. Get me out of this is like labor pains, God. I can't take any more. If you don't come through, God, I'm gonna what will you do? Oh, I don't know. Oh, God, I can't take it. Yes, you can. You can take a whole lot more. No, I can't. Don't do it anymore. Oh, God. Please, God. Oh, that's it. I'm not going to church anymore. I'm not going to hang out with those Christians. Do you know what these people are doing when they introduce you to Jesus? God. Please come back. Oh, you know what? I'm just sort of pretty dead now. Oh, you do whatever you like. All right, whatever. Just keep it going for years and years and years. I'll be all right. What'd you say? You're all right? Yeah, I'm okay. I'm enjoying it now. You know, it's like, it's all right. I love you. I don't care if you never come through for me. You're more important. Hey, angels, I think we're good. Yeah, let him go. Bong. He got this big old floppy heart now. Just, you know, like, reaching out. You gotta meet all those people that you didn't like. Oh, I love you. You're just awesome. All those people you had a big grudge against. I forgive you. I don't care. Problems come. You say, I'm bigger than all that. And that's how God answers prayer sometimes. Because it says he will give power to the weak. Even youths will utterly fall. But he says, if those people will wait on me, if they'll turn up at presence, and like Darlene said, spend 4 nights and 3 days. Don't miss the first night. And just wait on me. Put aside some time. You will rise above your challenge. You may get a miracle. God bless you if you do. It's awesome. But I can tell you this, there's going to come a day when you'll envy people who are having a trial because you know what it produces inside a person. You know that they're going to discover the treasures of darkness. In fact, they're going to discover the lily of the valley, which is the greatest lily you could ever find. It's called Jesus, but it's in the valley. At the beginning of Psalm 23, David says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He's just this person out there, God or somebody. You know, I got this thing, the theology that God is there. And then the second verse, he says, he. It's not the Lord, it's a he. It's a person. But by the time he hits the valley, he said, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil because you are with me. He's moved from the Lord to he, and now I'm looking at you face to face. The greatest discovery you'll ever make is Jesus. He's the pearl of greatest price. And sometimes you're going to find that he's more discoverable in our painful moments than in our mountaintops. And you're going to discover there is a deep purpose in your pain. It's going to teach you just about everything you need to know. Laughter, you can walk with her for 2 miles, she'll teach you nothing. But just a few moments of pressure and difficulty and challenge are going to make you find sweet from the strong. You're going to find stuff that comes into your world that once upon a time you thought it was weird. You know that, why would God take us through this stuff? Peter says, 1 Peter 4:12, beloved, do not think it a strange thing, the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you. Part of being a believer is that you're going to go through some tough times. If you'd want an easier life, what are you doing being a Christian? This is the richest life on earth. Those riches are mined, not only through mountaintops and great moments, but sometimes your deepest painful moments, deeply troubled moments, where you think you're not going to make it. You're in the heart stretching. You're the potter on the wheel. You're going in the furnace. You're feeling like, what is this doing? It's making you. It's making you into a vessel that God will pour his spirit out on thousands of other people. And all he's looking for is enough people who will let themselves sit on the wheel while his hand forms us. While he pours his spirit on us, makes us wet, slippery, and everything else, but we will stay there. We'll stay on board. Even though I'm traveling through the most difficult moment in our marriage, I'm not talking about Chris and I, although it wasn't that good. Yeah, I know, it's great. It's good. We're good. Yeah. She saw me. You know, I just got home this morning. We kind of said, hi, babe. She's all killing. Kind of, you were cuddly this morning. Yeah. Not that I'm surprised, you know. It's like, who could resist? But, you know, there it is. She's so sweet. 40 years she's put up with me. My God. She said to me the other day, that should be enough, shouldn't it? And, you know, like, that's the beginning, baby. Okay. So the thing is, you may be struggling in your marriage. Don't you go popping out of that thing. Okay, Pastor Phil's in the house. He's talking to you. Don't you run. Stick around. You got to go through the valley to get the treasures at the other side. Just because things are really rough in your Christian life, don't you pop out. Be stable. Be immovable. Be unshakable. The reason God shakes our lives is that so that that which cannot be shaken gets strengthened, and that which can be shaken gets shaken out. And he shakes heaven and he shakes earth. He wants a solid kingdom, one that lasts forever. And you know, sometimes we're just a little flaky, a little, you know, we sort of like, oh, you know, make a decision and move on to another thing. Make a commitment. Say, I'm on the wheel, Lord. You've started a process in me and you're going to complete it. And I'm not going to move from my position in you. I want you to complete whatever you've started in my life. Even though I might find there are days when I don't want to hang on, I'm asking you to hang on to me. Don't let me go, whatever I'm going through, Jesus. And I'm believing with you. Sometimes we opt for the easy solution. We're looking for some other thing. But James says, whoever is suffering, let him pray. When you see these great figures of the Bible, when they've got this trouble on their lives and these trials in their life, it's the greatest moment to prove God in your world. But while the miracle is still on its way, while the solution is still coming, and it will come, listen to me, you are going to get through your trial. It doesn't last forever. No trial lasts forever. You will get through it. There is a light at the end of the tunnel, and it's not a train coming the other way. It is you getting out of this thing. You will get through it. I've talked to all sorts of people. I know. Hundreds of people in this congregation says, I look around and think of some of the trials you've been in that were yesterday. And they've gone. And you're out of it. But when you were in it, you thought, oh, my world's collapsing. Because it formed something in you. It deepened your capacity to cope with whatever comes along in your life. Some people think, we're not meant to have suffering in the Christian life. I don't know, kind of treat it like the S word or something. But the deal is, it's not a strange thing. It's going to be the forming of your life. 2 Timothy 2 verse 12 says, if we endure hardship, we will reign with him. Romans 5, 3, Paul says, we also rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope. A positive mindset is going to come from the strength of character that you get having endured, gone through your difficult moments. And let me tell you this, you're going to have the greatest joy of your life in living above your predicament. You can't get a better joy than that. It's the cheekiest feeling on earth. When everybody thinks you should be crying and breaking down and committing yourself somewhere else, here you are, happy, rejoicing. My associate pastor, Tom Ear, when we were living in Littleton, we had a flood in the town, and his house got caught on a mudslide and went about 500 meters down the hill. The house was full of mud. You couldn't get in the house anymore. He was sitting on the roof playing his guitar. This is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made, that the Lord. All the civil service guys and everybody else going, oh, what are you doing, you idiot? He says, it's going to work out for good. And it did. He built a new house for the insurance. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Lost a few photo albums and whatever, but probably a good idea anyway. Amen. He's a Fijian. He could sing, play the guitar. He was as happy as could be. It was incredible. You will find there is a joy that God is providing you in the middle of your trial. If you take your eyes off the difficulty and you put it on Jesus, he's the author and finisher of faith in your life. You're going to find joy regardless of what's going on. It's ridiculous. Amen. It can seem crazy. The last thing I want to say is that it's like having military firepower when you accept there are going to be tough moments in this life I've chosen. 1 Peter 4:1 says, therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind. If you are perplexed by the fact that there are difficulties in ascribing God with neglect, saying you're neglecting me, God, you're not looking up. You see, here's the thing. When you go back to that scripture, which we'll go back to right now at the beginning that I spoke of as we close, he says, why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my just claim is passed over by my God? Have you not heard? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth. Now, this is why Philip Day's message on Saturday night is so important. Because so much of people's faith and so much of Bible faith is based on the fact that God created this world. If it just dribbled in from billions of years ago, and we're dribbling on to another whatever billion, X billion years, and it all just evolved by random mutations, then there's no basis for believing. But he says here, God who created the heavens and the earth, and let me tell you, it was all created, completely finished. We haven't evolved from nothing. The only way we're going is down the hill. The earth is folding up. Species are dying all the time. I'm as green as anybody. I don't want it to happen, but it is. It's a reality. And you just got to look at, like Pat was talking about his hair before. We are going backwards. Amen. Decay, entropy. God says there's going to come a day when it's finished. I'm not talking about them when I say those words. Amen. Here's the thing. The idea of evolution is trying to undermine our faith that God created you and I and all the heavens. In fact, just before verse 27, it says, lift up your eyes on high in verse 26 and see who has created these things, who brings out their host by number. So once you know God in heaven personally saw to your design, created you out of nothing, and breathed into you the breath of life, and here you are now, that same God is the one that when you wait on him, if he can do all that, surely he can put strength inside your soul so that you soar like an eagle, run like an athlete, and walk like a strong man through this life, regardless of whatever is coming against you and trying to drown you in sorrow, depression, and every other thing. You are built to fly high. You're an eagle believer in Jesus' name. Amen. You got wind under your wings and strength in your spirit from the Most High. And when you wait on the Lord, you're going to mount up higher than you've ever been before with a supernatural power that's in on the inside of your spirit. You can't get it anywhere else, in a bottle or a pill or any other kind of medical means in the world. There is a spirit that comes from God that'll lift you high and cause you to fly in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. And you know, so as we just close here today, I really want to just ask you, if you've never had the Lord come into your life like that, To be like a buoyant power within you that can lift your heart from some of the darker emotions that get a hold of us. There's definitely a power when you drink the water that Jesus gives. He says, it'll become on the inside of you a fountain that bubbles up all of its own accord. And a joy comes in the inside of your life that helps you walk above challenges and helps you see purpose in pain, that there is a life development going on that makes you a bigger person and gives you a capacity greater than anything you've had before.
Thanks for listening to the Phil Pringle Podcast. Check out philpringle.com to follow Phil's blog and latest resources. Join us next time for more great teaching.